You're listening to The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. On this episode of The Broker's Terminal, Season 1, Episode 7, we talk with Danielle Rain about her role as Vetra in Mass Effect Andromeda. Thank you for listening. This is The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. All right, hello. Welcome to The Broker's Terminal. I am Rachel, here with my friend Lexi.
Hello.
Hello. And
back at it again.
Here we are, back at it. And we are here with our guest, Danny. Hello.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Doing pretty okay.
Good.
We're only a little excited for today's
episode. Just a little, you know.
Thank you. I'm so glad you guys invited me.
Yeah.
Vetra's truly one of my favorite characters I've ever done. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And I certainly, and I know if I can speak for Lexi for 2 seconds, which I would do anyway, we can tell just by like the way that you react to the fans on Twitter, if that's the only like outlet we could have to see like your love for Vetra. So we're really super honored to have you.
You know, I think as an actor, you're just so incredibly lucky when you get the chance to do a role that a lot of people, you know, just it resonates with, or, you know, that it's just a part, an important part of their gaming experience. And I just feel so lucky whenever somebody, you know, sends me a piece of art they had commissioned, or, you know, just there's somebody making a 3D version using a 3D printer to make Vetra. I mean, there's so many cool things going on, and I just love celebrating everybody who's as into Vetra as I was into, you know, voicing her.
Sure. Yeah, I think now I'll just get this out of the way. My friend Mel recently posted a selfie of herself in a t-shirt. That's my friend, and she
was losing it. A fantastic t-shirt.
I wanted to make sure that I mentioned her too, because she is a new Mass Effect fan, has only played with the release of the Legendary Edition, and then
like
jumped into Andromeda and was like, so Vetra's the greatest person I've ever met. And so I just want to make sure I gave her some love here.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, yeah. I love that t-shirt.
Yeah,
it was
very cool.
Great. And I love that you gave a shout out to the artist, you know, and where you could find it and stuff like that. That's really sweet. That's great for the community.
Absolutely.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah. Well, if you are ready, we're going to jump into some questions, because that's what the people want. They don't want to listen to me and Lexi. They want to hear you. The first question we have is, I lost my notes. Here they are. Very just broadly, tell us about who you are and what you do.
I decided pretty early on in high school that I wanted to be an actor, and I went to college for that. And I've been an actor my whole life, but it's been everything from when I was in New York City. You know, I worked on soap operas. There were so many soap operas at the time. I did theater when I was there, and I've always done a lot of things like TV commercials, because they really pay the bills until you get the jobs that you want.
Yeah.
You know. So I've been a lifelong actor, and mostly though on camera. And the voiceover thing came in about 2009. I'd been asked about doing VO when I still lived in New York, but that was a time when, you know, you still went into offices to actually audition, as opposed to now when everything you do is at your home computer and you just edit it and send it in. And so in 2009, I had another opportunity to get into VO, and a friend of mine happened to know the casting director for World of Warcraft. So she literally called that person and said, you got to meet, you know, this actress who's doing VO now. And it was the first thing I got was World of Warcraft, Cataclysm. So from then on, I was able to get an agent who happened to be really good friends with that casting director. And that pretty much got the ball rolling for VO. I still mostly work on camera, but the VO is just something, you know, I'll always be, you know, having a hand in. I'll always be sending out auditions, and, you know, it's like the rest of the acting business, you know, for everything you audition for, you don't get most of them.
Sure.
But you just keep going. You know, it's really about the resiliency of being willing to keep auditioning, you know, even when you're kind of like going, how many auditions has this been that I haven't gotten a call saying, hey, you know, you're on hold for this, you know, something like that. But you just keep going. you know, when you love it.
For sure. I guess that kind of ties into one of the questions I had for a little later. I was going to say, what would be your advice to aspiring voice actors? Like, what would be some, you know, introductory hints and tips or advice, anything?
Well, you know, if you have the acting under your belt, to me, that is the first step. It's not so much about, you know, I took a lot of courses, voiceover, you know, everything about commercials and, you know, animation characters and things like that. But it almost always boils down to how genuine is your acting and does it come through? You know, that's the most important part. So getting acting training would be one of the things. Being really technically proficient, there's a lot of people who, you know, the whole idea of having to record and edit and, you know, upload their auditions, it's more than technically they can do. Nobody your generation, okay? You all got this. But, you know, if you got somebody who's like, you know, I'm 50 and somebody said I have a great voice and I really want to get into VO, it's like, how comfortable are you with a computer? Sure. Because if you hate computers, this may not be what you want to do because you're pretty much responsible for all the technical end. I personally feel like I want to support the engineers and the sounds, you know, studios right now. A lot of them took such a tremendous hit during the pandemic, and a lot of voice actors now have things so that they can completely record an entire session at home. So a lot of these people are really kind of struggling. And while I also don't want to be fully responsible for, you know, my audio being completely perfect, I'd rather walk into, you know, into a studio, into a booth, and have somebody else handle all that technical aspect. But yeah, that's one of the things, is you really need to be comfortable around using computers. And that'd be one of the key things. But if you're young and you're really great with that, then I'd focus on the acting. And there are so many terrific free resources just for people who are just kind of like, man, I'd like to do this, but I need to know more. You know, there's a Society of Voice Artists, SOVAS, which they offer these free like workshops online. It's a great resource for people who just want to learn more about the business. So that's the other thing in terms of education, learning everything you can, you know.
That's really cool. I know that, you know, one of the voices of Mass Effect, Jennifer Hale, has the right word for it, like a program, I guess, that she runs.
Like
that's
a thing
for
they've got going now.
I think
yeah.
it's like Skills Hub or something. Oh my gosh, Jennifer Hale is somewhere like not saying this correctly, but she hosts or like is in leadership of this Skills Hub program that is for aspiring voice actors. So that's
fantastic.
Yeah, to compound, you know, what you're saying, that there are resources all over the place.
Yeah. So even if, you know, a lot of times, like I remember some of my voiceover classes, you know, would be paying like $650 for like six classes. If that's a lot for you, which it is for a lot of people, you know, go online, find out some of the free resources that you can really get some good information. Almost every voice actor, you know, gets asked that kind of question.
Sure.
And they have certain things, you know, that like for me, I found Sovas when during the pandemic, they were just, you know, saying, hey, we're going to be interviewing this person from Sound and Fury casting, you know, and just the tips you could pick up from somebody who you send in auditions to all the time, you know, that's invaluable. And it was free, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. I've not heard of it before.
Yeah, that's great.
And
yeah.
I'm sure there are people listening who would love to know that info.
Yeah.
So speaking of technical skills, and we'll circle back around to the famous Vetra. Can you just sort of tell us, you've already spoken about how she's one of your favorite characters that you've done. Can you just tell us what it was like learning about Vetra, you know, her role and your role in Andromeda, and just what that like for you?
Well, you know, I was not a gamer. I've pl- played some games, but, you know, it's just like one of those things that once I got busy with life and a kid and a full-time job and then the acting, you know, I sort of like, my husband and I used to play games when we were dating, you know, the ones where you just beat the crap out of each other, you know, and see who wins. But that had been a long time prior. So, but when I did the audition, they always give you like a code name. So you don't know the name, you know, it's called something so random, like peanut butter, you know, and so, all right, you booked Peanut Butter Project. Oh, great. And it's not until you're standing in front of the microphone that they tell you what it is. And I have kept, you know, they give you a notepad and a paper, and I've kept the page that I had in front of me that day on my first session. And it was with Caroline Livingston, who is the casting director. And she basically, you know, I had to say, you know, I'd heard of Mass Effect, of course, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I knew of it, but I hadn't played it. Sure. So, you know, she started giving me like all these keywords, what Vetra was like. But I do remember that moment when she said, well, this is Mass Effect. And I had this, oh shit, moment in my head, you know, where I was just like, oh my God, you know, you're just trying to be cool, just really sure. trying to chill here. But no, inside I was just like, who can I call first? Nobody, can't tell anybody,
yeah.
you know?
That'd be the hardest part for me.
Oh, for sure.
If I was into it, I'd be like, oh God, I got to stay quiet. Can't go on the internet. Nope.
Yeah, you can't tell anybody. I mean, like, you know, I told my husband, sure. you know, who was super excited for me, but, you know, just, you just sit on it for the longest time. And even when they started releasing like little bits,
yeah.
trailers, mm-hmm. teases, you know, and you hear your voice for the first time, you still can't say anything until they announce you. But yeah, I mean, at the time when I, for a long time, one of my big survival jobs was as a stunt performer at Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Oh,
I played
really
Sarah
cool.
Connor
wow.
in the show.
Oh my God.
That's really cool.
I did it from the time we opened the show in 1999. I opened the show and I closed the show. I was like the only full-time performer who actually opened and closed the show. That's how much I love that job. And I had so much of Sarah Connor in me that I'm sure a lot of that got channeled into Vetra. You know, the Sarah Connor that Danny Rain is, you know, was channeled into Vetra Nix. So, you know, when it comes to somebody who'll go to the ends of the earth to save somebody she loves, in Sarah Connor's case, it's John Connor.
Sure.
You know, for Vetra, it's Sid. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's so easy for me to relate to that. And you really have to take from your own experience in order for it to be genuine enough that when people hear you, they believe you. So I took everything I had from Sarah Connor and I channeled that into Vetra.
Now that you mentioned that, I've only played through Andromeda once myself, but I today just rewatched the Vetra romance for this podcast, which mm-hmm. oh, my heart. Anyway, now that you say that, and like the well. Rage is going to laugh at this, but it seems that I seem to have a type in every single Mass Effect game, and that seems to be the woman who has like a big heart and cares about her sisters.
Yep.
Ashley, mm-hmm. Miranda, Vetra, there's a pattern of behavior. But you know, you can really hear that devotion and doing the things, you know, and it's, especially in Andromeda's setting where they're, you know, basically going out into the unknown. Mm-hmm. There's a lot at stake. So I think that's that now that you say that, when I rewatch it or replay it eventually, I'm going to have that in mind. But I definitely yeah. already see where you definitely drew from that.
You know, that was one of the nicest things. One of the things I love best about Vetra. I mean, yeah, you know, the badass, the military, everything that's written up on that thing, you know, survivor, strong,
sure.
badass, you know, all those keywords that she gave me. You know, there was that, but I love the fact that she had such a tender side. And for this tall, strong, you know, I'm not tall, you know.
Neither are we, really.
Not to be tall. So, yeah. you know, but for this, you know, imposing character to be like, insecure and doubtful that anyone would find her attractive. You know, that was one of the best things I enjoyed about playing Vetra, was the other side of her, you know, the soft, juicy inside, you know, that was protected by all the strength and the power. And this is everything I've had to do to get to this point. But at the end of the day, you know, there's still this love and, you know, the insecurity, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of like symbolism there too, especially like for me, I love Vetra, but like Turians for me are really tough to like get into, right? I'm like, they're mm-hmm. like birds. Like it's like, quite tough for me. But I think yep. that, and this has been great. I love like speaking with you right now because like it's like being Vetra less of a bird. But like I think that the metaphor is that she has this hard exterior because she's a Turian, but like mm-hmm. you just said, she's like soft and gooey on the inside. Which is like really cool. I love it.
Once again, my type.
Right.
My type. The hard exterior, the great. Soft interior.
I'll have to do a Vetra romance now.
You
please. I have to. Right?
Listen, when I saw Vetra and you know, we'd only gotten the one female Turian in the Omega DLC and mm-hmm. spoilers, but she didn't last
doesn't make
very
it.
Long. She doesn't make it out of that DLC. So for me, in the, you know, when they were introducing the trailers and stuff of the next Mass Effect game and seeing a female Turian, I was like, oh my God, we're actually going to get a female Turian squad mate. And then like, you know, I always joke with the friends that love Garrus and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand this attraction to this bird guy.
Yeah.
And then Vetra happened and I'm like, oh,
I get it.
Okay. I get it now. I just had to be, you know, one of the other gender.
But I got to tell you, when they first show you visuals so you can get an idea of what your character is going to look like, you know, she's not fully mapped out yet or not completely drawn, but they showed me Garrus and they showed me Nyrene and I looked and went, ooh, wow. Okay. So forget about what she looks like. You're just voicing her.
Right.
You know, because I had that same thing of how do I get into this? Doesn't matter. Just it's your voice.
That's amazing.
Just that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that first reaction to reptilian bird creature. What the? Whoa.
Yeah.
Does she have lips? I can't tell.
They're like mandibles, kind of. Yeah, I don't
mandibles,
know.
There's a mouth. Yeah. I guess it would be, you know, another aspect, I'm just going to throw another quick question in off script, but what was it like hearing your voice go through the modulation for the Turian, like the two-tone vocals? Because I always think that's so neat to hear.
Oh,
especially
I
now hearing you
more.
Like on mic versus in-game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because you bring your own voice, and if you've been doing a lot of auditions, you've listened to your voice too much, and you pretty much detest it. So then when they do the stuff that they do, then it's like, oh my gosh, now I hear the character. Now I hear it. I loved what they did, you know. Again, like most actors, I'm tough on myself when I see myself on screen. Oh, I should have done this different. Vocally, is that my voice? I really don't like it, you know, but when you hear it all together, you know, when it's just coming together, all the pieces, then you're like, yeah, no, they know what they're doing. I mean, you know, Cheryl Chi is a great writer. I love what she did for the character. And, you know, the artists involved did such a beautiful job that, you know, my voice is just a component of it. But all the pieces put together were really exciting to see. In fact, it was probably like one of the last sessions. I did like about 10 or 11 sessions that I had to do a little bit more that was kind of like ADR, you know, lip syncing to the mandible lips, you know. And that was the first time, you know, and I remember just kind of like tearing up, seeing the whole thing together with the voice. And it was on Liam's mission, actually, that whole mission where you guys are like sucked out the paper, hanging on for dear life. And, you know, there's some things that's like, I have no acting experience that prepares me for what it's like to be sucked out of a chamber and hanging on for dear life. You know, you just got to find something that works. But yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. I probably mentioned this at least once a session here, but I had the honor of meeting Allie Hillis a couple years ago, and we spoke about like her role as Liara. And I asked her just a few different things. Like for Liara Tassoni's character, she has a very specific cadence that she speaks with. And we were talking about that, and she said some very similar things. It was like, you know, she could hear when she was recording what Liara sounds like, but it's not really until she can see the final product was it like, wow, this character is like real. And so that's a common theme, and it's really, really cool that you like universally that's something that voice actors get to experience together.
Yeah, it's really something when you see the whole thing. And like, in spite of the fact that I was not a gamer, I did buy the game as soon as it came out. And yeah, they don't send you a game for free. You go out and you buy it. But I sat on my sofa for like months learning how to play. I mean, I was just determined. And my son's a gamer, so he was helping me out, especially when I was making myself nauseous trying to drive the Nomad all
over.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, I had help. I had a pro, basically. My at that time, he was, what, 15 years old pro?
Yeah.
But it was really wonderful to experience, you know, all the elements. One of my favorite things was recording the dialogue in the Nomad, just those conversations.
Oh, yeah. So good.
You'd be having, you know, with Drac or whatever. And it was just so much fun, those kind of things, because those, to me, were the most, like, the bulk of what you do is acting, you know, you're kind of revealing a piece of yourself and your history, but subtly and just through conversation, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Those,
I think the banters in the BioWare games, I think so make it, they're great. Like, especially when you get the different party dynamics and you're two or three, and if you're playing Dragon Age, you're different party members. And, you know, I can only imagine how many lines they throw at you to record to be like, okay, here's the list, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the coolest thing about it. I mean, it's cool and it's rough, but because of the experience I've had as an actor, cold reading is something I've gotten good at. Mm. You know, half the time you prepare your sides and then they, you know, they look at you and they go, you know, we want you to read these instead. Can you take these for 10 minutes? And, you know, so the script that you worked hours on, you know, forget that, but now you got 10 minutes and you got to bring it to life. So cold reading has become something that I really had to get good at. And that is really what recording a video game is all about. You don't get the script the day before or anything like that. You're standing in front of the microphone and they flash up some lines on a screen above your head. And, you know, if you're lucky, there's pre-recorded the other person so that you can have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And otherwise it's the director reading opposite you, but it's the first time and you're basically cold reading your dialogue. I mean, every once in a while you get it right the first time, and other times it takes 5-6 times before you finally feel like, okay, that one's good, we can let that go, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, it's really an exercise in cold reading as it just pops up on a screen in front of you with no preparation. And sometimes, like, you know, I would say, you know, can you give me a little reference as to what this place is and how to pronounce it? And they'd have to call somebody back at BioWare. We'd wait, we'd get on the line. Oh yeah, that's so-and-so and it's pronounced this way. And this is the place that so-and-so happened. Oh, okay. All right, good. And, you know, that's it. That's how, there's no preparation in advance where you're like marking a script and going, ask about this or look this up. You know, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. There's nothing to look up if it's a, you know, a planet that's been created in another universe, you know?
So. Yeah, absolutely. I think before this, when I was picking out like what our video background will be, I said something about like, oh, I could pick Havarl, but I hate Havarl. It's like, I can never figure out how to do anything on Havarl. And Lexi was like, what? I was like, yeah, it's some jungle planet in Andromeda that I blocked out of my memory because it's like really difficult.
That one was so hard. I reached out on Twitter and I'm pretty sure about 3 different people sent me walkthroughs play by play and links to YouTube videos of them getting through Havarl. And it was so hard.
It's
and
tough.
Even when I was playing through, like I played 2.5 times. When I was playing through on the second and third time, you know, I'd forget how I got to that one really, that important building that was really impossible to find your way to and have to go back and look up the stuff people had sent me to get me through that level. Yeah.
That's great. But Mass Effect fans are so cool. And that's why we do this podcast. Lexi and I are just two Mass Effect nerds who met role-playing Mass Effect characters like almost 10 years ago, and here we are doing a podcast about Mass Effect. Like, there are so few communities like the Mass Effect community that people will be like, yeah, here's a video that I just did about the walkthrough of Hvar. I'll have fun.
Do you do that in VR, the role-playing?
We did it. It was written back in the day. Yeah. So we actually, I'll shout this out briefly for our listeners and our fans. Mm-hmm. I am going to be DMing a Mass Effect themed D&D one shot on N7 Day, so very soon.
Wow.
I have, Lexi will probably be able to figure out what I have planned, but I have a character plan that I'm going to really try and nail her voice for part of that.
Fantastic. That's great.
She's blue. I know, shock off. I love Liara Tisona, she's back behind me. We never like did it that way, but probably could have.
Probably. It was mostly just writing, but you know, I think in that sense you're kind of capturing an existing character and trying to come up with stories of your own accord just for fun, you know. And that kind of set, you know, we play in D&D bi-weekly pretty much, not Mass Effect related. But you know, just to give a shout out once again to Mass Effect Adventum, they are a tabletop D&D group that you can listen to, and they have a cast of six very unique characters. So that's always kind of like we speak to the fandom, and you know, they're doing great things. We actually interviewed Tanaya and Emily, and had a great time with them. So it's just another facet of the fandom where, you know, they're taking this universe that we're all connected to and playing within it, you know. So I think it's a really cool community. But yeah, I've got to say, I think, you know, seeing your engagement with the fans is always nice to see people being positive and nice and engaging with you.
Oh, yeah. Especially on Twitter, to find positive and nice is really awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I know. Do I want to dive into Twitter and go through the bloodbath in order to see like the two people have said, hey, look at this cool piece of art I just had commissioned.
Lexi, I'm just kind of jumping around on the last two questions we have here, I'm going to kind of maybe combine the last two questions into a comment. It's no secret that Andromeda didn't have the greatest launch that it could have. I played it at midnight. My now husband was like, okay, is this working? I'm going to sleep. Like, I'll see you in 3 days. So I was like, cool, bye. But it didn't have a great launch for a variety of reasons. Lexi and I both kind of agree that many of them were unfounded. So with that respect, it's now more widely accepted, I would say, than maybe originally at launch. But what has that transformation of the game's acceptance been like for you as a cast member?
Well, you know, it's been a very slow, long process, you know, with that initial tremendous, painful disappointment that I was not going to be in the successful Mass Effect, you know, branch that I was hoping, you know, it was really hard. But playing it early on and seeing the glitches myself, you know, I got it. But then the very slow growing of, hey, I just, you know, picked up Andromeda and I really love it and I love your character, you know, those little messages would come up, you know, it starts to build back the fondness you had, you know, when you were initially doing it, you're so excited and everything. And then it was a bit of a downhill slide as we discovered that, you know, it was kind of like getting panned. So then to have people then slowly, and I think for those people who waited a year or two to pick up the game, they were in a much better position, because if they waited and they upgraded everything and fixed, got all the fixes, you know, they got the experience. It would have been nice if everybody had with Andromeda. You know, there's just so many things when it comes to this business, you know, that are completely out of your control. And that was, you know, one of the hardest for me. But I've also had plenty of times where there would be like, hey, we're going to write in this character on this thing that you did and, you know, get ready. And then the next email your agent sends you says, you know, well, we had to go in a different direction, so that's not going to happen. You know, this business is full of those things where you kind of like, you don't want to get your hopes up too high, because it happens often enough.
Sure.
But then it is really nice to have people who just reach out to me. And that's where Twitter has become such a saving grace, because I do love it, you know, when I pop that open and see, you know, somebody who's had a really good experience and really enjoyed it, because that's, you know, what you hope for everybody. That's mm-hmm. what you hope everybody will have, this incredible experience interacting and, you know, playing the game, obviously, and getting through all the levels, but the paths and the people, or, you know, Turians you meet, you know, that's really what makes it memorable. So I'm glad some people are getting that, you know, that experience.
Yeah. And, you know, just to go back to my friend who I mentioned earlier, she literally played the game for the first time this year, the original trilogy, and then Andromeda. And she was like, why are people upset about this game? I was like, I have no idea. I played it on launch and loved it. I mean, it's different. I liked that it was different enough from the original trilogy, and I'm a big original trilogy fan. But I liked that it was different. It doesn't need to be the main story. Lexi and I have a full episode about this.
Oh yeah. We could go on.
We could,
and on.
But we don't have time. You guys can go back and listen to episode 2. But I think that there was something special about recognizing like that Shepard existed. But bringing in a new story and new characters to love, and to fangirl and boy and everything in between over. And so I felt that a lot of the hate that came about Shepard not being in it was just like, y'all need to get over it. It'll be fine.
You know, cause it's funny. Cause don't people have like two things that they complain about, you know, that there's nothing new on TV or Hollywood can't produce anything new. It's just exactly the same thing. Just, you know, recycled a little bit. And then sometimes people complain when it's not a recycled thing.
Right.
Well, I think people just love to have something to complain about.
Let's
be real.
Also true. Yeah.
You know, and I think, like I said before, BioWare has created, and a lot of the writers, I think you mentioned Cheryl earlier. I think she's written some of my favorite characters in the series. So, you know, she stands out to me. But I feel like, you know, they've given this vast universe for us all to play in, and Andromeda is just another installment of it, and it's fun. I mean, again, I need to replay it because I never did actually finish it, but it was 2017, so I was just finishing up my undergrad, and that would have been about a month before my exam, so I probably binged it when I probably shouldn't have. But
I'm glad you have priorities, though.
Meanwhile, I had a full-time job, and I was like, hey, boss, I'm taking the day off. I'll see you in a week. I'll see you later.
But I guess, you know, to speak to it, so kind of tying in, you're getting on my next question, our kind of our last little one that we had written here. But what was it like, you know, you talked about your when it was revealed that it was the Mass Effect series, but what was it like coming into the established series as like the newbie of the expansion? Like what did you feel about it? Did you get to meet any of the other voice actors that were already there or some of the new ones? Like what was it?
I didn't get to meet anybody from the original trilogy. I did get to meet Tom Taylorson at my last session. We got to meet, I'm trying to think, I don't think I met anyone else, not even like in passing. I think that's pretty much it. And you can't, the same thing, like if you get hired to work on a TV show and it's a spinoff, you know, you can't like think about what happened in the previous one. You just, your character right now in the present, and you know, bringing everything you can, you know, that I think that's it. It's really a thing of like staying in the moment. Otherwise, you can really mess yourself up if you obsess about, am I going to be as good as the last Turian? Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to stay like right where you live.
Well, you know? I mean, you nailed it as Vetra. I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here, but I do think that Vetra was one of those characters from Andromeda that many people would say is like one of the strongest.
Stands out.
Like stands out for sure.
Like for me, like again, it was my first romance choice. Like I was like, You know, especially like as a queer gamer, and being kind of in the original trilogy, being kind of limited when it came to playing as female Shepard and having, you know, a female love interest. And so, you know, when they released these new games, it was the same thing with Dragon Age Inquisition, and now Andromeda. It was like, okay, like, am I going to be able to romance this character because she seems really cool? Like, that's always the hope, you know, and sometimes it ends in painful disappointment.
Right.
Other times it's like, oh, Miranda. Other times it's like, oh my God, like, they're actually letting this happen to be, you know, an option for both or just female player character. And so, like, getting to play that romance for the first time, totally blind, it's one of the cutest ones. Like, I just adored I think my favorite part of the whole romance, although the cliff jumping scene was pretty good, when they first sort of are like, yeah, I like you, but like you, mm-hmm. was the part where Vetra does her best to try and cook a meal for Ryder, and mm-hmm. she like does a steak, like she like
charbroiled.
It's yeah. like done. And yeah. it's just like, oh no, I ruined it. Like, I tried this thing and now I've ruined
it's
it. But
cow.
Ryder reassures her.
It's cow.
Oh, yeah. That scene always gets me. I think it's just one of those tender moments that they write in, but it's obviously the voice acting that seals that. And
thank you for saying that. But yeah, when you get a scene that's that well written, and I'm sure that's Cheryl Chi, you know, it becomes effortless sure. to kind of connect to that. And that's where, you know, without that really good writing, you know, I I've had situations where I've had to fight bad writing to try to make it sound like something found in nature when it's not, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was so happy when I found out that, you know, Vetra was going to be romanceable by, you know, anybody. And I was so happy to find that out. And I played as Scott Ryder one time mm-hmm. and as, oh God, I just went up on
Sarah
Ryder the second time. And I was so happy that I could how bad does that make me sound that I romanced myself both times?
I was going to ask if you did. And so I'm glad that you said it. Of course, I would.
I did.
I'm one of those people, yeah, yes, that question, like, would you kiss yourself? 100%. 100%.
Well, that's what you're doing basically when right. you are, you know, having to do the romantic stuff.
Sure.
You know, it's basically like, I was like, oh, you know, I used to kiss the back of my hand when I was a, you know.
Sure.
So that's basically, I'm now a grown person standing in front of a microphone kissing the back of my hand.
That's great.
But they're paying me. So, sure. Okay, I'll go.
It's not weird anymore.
Go
yeah.
with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think it's just a really great experience to have, you know, that added component of a romance. I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the additional acting that goes to it. I can only imagine trying to do that in a booth mm-hmm. and not necessarily like face to face with another person. Mm-hmm. But it definitely came through. That one's still one of my favorites out of the BioWare series.
I'm not just saying it.
Like, it's generally mm-hmm. one of my, like, there's Miranda and Vetra, and again, I have a type. We've long declared that, but you know, I think it's parts of these BioWare games that we love as players, I think, is to have that romance in our role-playing games, to be able to build a character, and whether you're playing the default iterations or you come up with a custom character, mm-hmm. and you know, I think at one point way back when there might have been like some, like, I don't know if it was like one of these like sapphic things or like international lesbian or something BioWare related. I am definitely sure. I think you retweeted. I had like a photo set of like my Ryder and Vetra and like my Shepard and whoever, and like tagged you guys in it. I'm pretty sure you retweeted mine. You did. I don't know if anyone else retweeted it, but you did for sure.
I love to do that. I always love. Always.
As a fan back then and younger back then, it really tickled me. I was like, ah, I got noticed.
I love that stuff. You know, it's like the experience you guys are having, you know, just, I love sharing that, putting it out there. And I love going back through my Twitter feed and seeing all of these really, in fact, I put like a file together of like all the artwork and stuff that was coming through. And we made it hashtag Vetra art, you know, kind of combine the two words, and I have a whole file of that. And you know, when you look back as an actor on parts that you've done, you know, you don't always have that opportunity outside of rewatching the episode or something like that. Mm-hmm. But with Vetra, you know, it truly is like a gift that keeps giving, you know?
That's so lovely. And I do think it comes back to just the performance and the way that Vetra sort of like permeated the lives of Mass Effect fans. But also, like, again, just like back to the community and just like how we profess our love, you know, to like what Lexi was saying about romances. I romanced Liara the first time I played the original trilogy, but Liara, just because she was who I roleplayed when Lexi and I were roleplaying back in the day. Truly, like, and I've explained to my husband, this poor guy, but, you know, I was like, Liara just, like, honestly became one of my best friends. Like, I just got to know her, and, like, she became part of my world, and I love that Mass Effect and BioWare games. Oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional. I'm, like, 4 months pregnant, so, like, oh my god, the emotional. the emotions, thank you.
Name her Vetra.
Well, it's a boy. It's a boy. Oh, okay. So Vetro.
Well,
I'll do Vetro.
She did try to get Liara to happen.
I did.
That didn't happen.
I did. But anyway,
that's a great name.
Liara's lovely. Yeah. Anyway, but I think that just like BioWare and then the cast that they bring on and just the way that they produce these games allow so many people to truly feel like the characters are part of their lives. And you truly, I mean, look, all the people on Twitter who tag you and, you know, feel like they want you to know how important Vetra is to them, that speaks volumes about your contribution.
No, well, thank you so much for saying that. That means a lot. Hey, and congratulations
thank
on your
you.
Pregnancy.
Yeah, we're super excited. It's very nerve-wracking. But
I'm so
wild.
Glad you finally were able to go public about it. I've been
sitting
on it
as a
secret.
Lexi knew very early.
I've known since like very early, and I'm like having to sit here going,
please tell people.
Can't say.
And as mom of a son, you know, I can really just say, yeah, you're gonna have a good time. You're just creating your own gamer to play against, right?
Yeah, some of my friends through the online community have sent me like little toys that look like Xbox controllers and Game Boys and D&D books and. I'm waiting for a Mass Effect kid book, but they don't exist that I can tell. So yeah. I'll buy an N7 onesie from the BioWare store. But anyway, the last thing I'll say, and you don't have to comment one way or the other, and I'm not asking for that, but here's what I'm hoping for. I'm real honest with you. Mm-hmm. I would like that the next Mass Effect game, whatever the heck that they teased last year, to connect the Milky Way to Andromeda, because Andromeda's story is not done yet. And I hate to think that it is. So, you have at
I'm
least
right with you.
Two people, that you can count yourself, three people on this podcast right now who are ready for more Andromeda. So there are tons of us out there who recognize that Andromeda, it didn't get the welcome that it deserved, but I think that it's...
it still deserves the love.
It has the love. It's getting it, and people know.
I so appreciate that. Yep. And, you know, this is just the way I would end this anyway, but, you know... If the people at BioWare, you know, are interested, you know where to find me.
Perfect. I'll send this to them best that I can. But truly, thank you so much for joining us. We have been looking forward to this for some time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
I've been so excited. Great.
You are our first voice actor to join us on the podcast. And so... thank you.
I am so honored.
Yeah.
I am so honored.
It's so
thank
great.
You.
We were super excited. But as I said, you know, Vetra is beloved among many of the people that we know. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I had a great time meeting you both.
Great.
Yeah.
For sure.
Awesome. Yeah. If you liked this podcast, please rate, like, and comment on your platform of choice. To show further support, you can follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and subscribe to our channels on YouTube. Everything discussed today will be archived on the Broker's Terminal. After all the galaxy secrets are at the Shadow Broker's fingertips.